Bhagavad Gita as it is. Chapter 14, which has 27 verses, is entitled The Three Modes of Material Nature. In the first 13 chapters of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna has repeatedly mentioned the modes of nature, goodness, passion, and ignorance. Now in this chapter, he will go through a summary analysis of these three modes. Listen carefully. Verses 1 through 5 is the fundamental principles to understand the modes of nature. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, "Again, I shall declare unto you this supreme wisdom, the best of all knowledge, knowing which all the sages have attained the supreme perfection." So, the supreme perfection is the liberation from this material world. And the ultimate supreme perfection, Krishna has mentioned several times, to regain one's position as the eternal servant of Krishna in his kingdom, the spiritual world. Krishna continues, "By becoming fixed in this knowledge, one can obtain the transcendental nature, which is like my own. Thus established, one is not born at the time of creation, nor disturbed at the time of dissolution. The total material substance called Brahman is the source of birth, and it is that Brahman that I impregnate, making possible the births of all living beings." So here we see that everything comes from Krishna. Nothing is independent. Now listen carefully. It should be understood that all species of life are made possible by birth in this material nature, and that I am the seed-giving father. So here we see where the concept of God as the Father comes from. Krishna is here stating that he is the Father not just of the human beings, but of all the 8,400,000 different species of life, out of which 400,000 are considered human, and out of those 400,000, a small percentage can be considered civilized. Material nature consists of three modes: goodness, passion, and ignorance. When the eternal living entity comes in contact with nature, he or she becomes conditioned by these modes. So right here is the main problem, that coming in contact with these three modes of nature, the eternal living being becomes conditioned. The soul, the eternal living being, should be free, but because of association with these modes of nature, one gives up freedom and becomes conditioned. Now, in verses 6 through 18, Krishna will give an analysis of these three modes of material nature. O sinless one, the mode of goodness, being purer than the others, is illuminating, and it frees one from all sinful reactions. Those situated in that mode become conditioned by a sense of happiness and knowledge. So beginning with the best of the three modes, goodness, one becomes conditioned. It's not totally liberating. You get conditioned by a sense of material happiness and knowledge. But the good part is that it is illuminating. Continuing, Krishna says, "The mode of passion is born of unlimited desires and longings. And because of this, the embodied living entity is bound to material fruitive actions." So here, the mode of passion is a little different. There is no peace in the mode of passion. Why? unlimited desires and longings. We recall in chapter 2 when Krishna said, if you want peace, you have to become free from all material desires. But a person in the mode of passion has unlimited desires and longings, and therefore one is bound and conditioned to perform so many material fruitive actions. Now listen. O son of Bharat, know that the mode of darkness, which is born of ignorance, is the delusion of all embodied living entities. The results of this mode are madness, indolence, and sleep. So, the mode of ignorance is the worst of the three. Indolence, he mentioned the word indolence. Indolence is inactivity resulting from the dislike of work. So the mode of ignorance, and what does he say? And this binds the conditioned soul. In the mode of ignorance, you are tightly bound. In the mode of goodness, you are somewhat free, but not completely free. In the mode of passion, you are bound up, but in the mode of ignorance, you are tightly bound up. Krishna continues, O son of Bharat, the mode of goodness conditions one to happiness. Passion conditions one to fruitive action, and ignorance, covering one's knowledge, binds one to madness. The verse said, covering one's knowledge. Knowledge means to understand that I am eternal, that I am spirit soul, that I'm part and parcel of Krishna. So the mode of ignorance, I completely forget all these things, and I begin to perceive of myself as a material object, and I consider the satisfaction of my senses as the primary goal of life. Krishna continues his analysis. Sometimes the mode of goodness becomes prominent, defeating the modes of passion and ignorance. Sometimes the mode of passion defeats goodness and ignorance, and at other times, ignorance defeats goodness and passion. In this way, there is always competition for supremacy. So here we see why we are struggling here in this material world. There is no peace, there's no steadiness. There's a constant flux, a constant fight, so to speak, for supremacy of these modes of nature. Krishna continues, the manifestations of the mode of goodness can be experienced when all the gates of the body are illuminated by knowledge. In chapter 5, we learned about the city of 9 gates, which was Krishna's figurative example of the material body. 2 eyes, 2 ears, 2 nostrils, the mouth, genital, and anus. So, when you're in the mode of goodness, these different outlets, these different doors or gates of the body are illumined with knowledge. O chief of the Bharatas, when there is an increase in the mode of passion, the symptoms of great attachment, fruitive activity, intense endeavor, and uncontrollable desire and hankering develop. What's good about studying this chapter is that now you can begin to monitor yourself. You can begin to see how you are behaving. And if you become very familiar with this chapter, you can immediately detect what mode of nature is trying to make itself prominent on you. And with knowledge, as he said earlier in chapter 4, with the weapon of knowledge, you can slay lust, you can slay ignorance. So we must do this by applying Bhagavad Gita. When there is an increase in the mode of ignorance, darkness, inertia, madness, and illusion are manifested. When one dies in the mode of goodness, he or she attains to the pure higher planets of the great sages. So these higher planets, because the earth is situated in the middle of the universe, but above the earth are the planets of the demigods and great saints and sages. And you cannot enter these realms unless you have developed a sufficient quantity of the mode of goodness. He continues. When one dies in the mode of passion, he or she takes birth amongst those engaged in fruitive activity. That indicates you come back to earth as a human being. And when one dies in the mode of ignorance, he or she takes birth in the animal kingdom. And we recall in chapter 2, the greatest fear, the greatest danger, is to miss the opportunity of at least human form of life. And that means going down lower to the 8 million species of life, animals and so forth, lower than human being. And how do you get there? Fostering the mode of ignorance. The result of pious action is pure and is said to be in the mode of goodness. So, pious action is outlined in the scriptures. Throughout this Bhagavad Gita, which is the summary of the Vedas, we have been advised by Krishna in so many ways to perform righteous, pious activities. So the result of that is you become purified. But action done in the mode of passion results in misery, and action performed in the mode of ignorance results in foolishness. The mode of goodness, real knowledge develops. From the mode of passion, greed develops. And from the mode of ignorance, develop foolishness, madness, and illusion. Those situated in the mode of goodness gradually go upward to the higher planets. Those in the mode of passion live on the earthly planets. And those in the abominable mode of ignorance go down to the hellish worlds. So it is significant that as a human being, day by day, we are fostering a certain mentality or consciousness. And it is all dictated by the modes of nature. So it is no mystery, actually, what is going to happen to us in our next life. By the choices we make, the good or bad decisions we make, we are cultivating these different modes of nature. And our next birth will be the fruit or the result of those choices. By reading Bhagavad Gita every day, one can foster the mode of goodness, become indifferent to the mode of passion, and thoroughly condemn the mode of ignorance. This is what is advised in Bhagavad Gita. Now, in the rest of this chapter, Krishna will explain how to transcend the modes of nature. Because, as we mentioned at the beginning, even though the mode of goodness is better than passion and ignorance, still you are conditioned. Still you are bound. You are not free. You'll have to take birth again. And any kind of birth in this material world is a term of imprisonment. Krishna has repeatedly said throughout the first 13 chapters of Bhagavad Gita that the goal is to become liberated, to get out of the ropes of material nature, to become free. Now he will discuss this. Krishna says, when one properly sees that in all activities no other performer is at work than these modes of nature, and when one knows the Supreme Lord, who is transcendental to all these modes, then one attains my spiritual nature. So yes, we are busy in this material world, but what actually is happening is simply the reaction of the senses and the body and the mind with the modes of nature. And as we learned yesterday in our previous chapter, number 13, Actually, the soul does nothing at all. And Krishna reminds us here of something he said in chapter 4, that actually, although he is here in this material world when he descends as an avatar, actually, he's never influenced by the modes of nature. He doesn't contact the modes of nature. He doesn't become entangled. So if one can understand all this, then what does Krishna say? You attain his spiritual nature. And we have repeated several times, Krishna's spiritual nature is Sat Chit Ananda, eternal knowledge and blissful. And that is your constitutional position. And Krishna will mention this at the end of this chapter. Continuing, when the embodied being is able to transcend these three modes associated with the material body, one can become free from birth, death, old age, and their distresses, and can enjoy nectar even in this life. So, this is why we should transcend the modes of nature and not remain in this material world. Because as long as we remain in this material world, it doesn't matter, even in the topmost planet or the lowest, you're still going to experience the material distresses of birth, old age, disease, and death. Nectar, Amrita, that's on the spiritual platform, the transcendental platform. Nectar, real happiness, spiritual bliss, Ananda, that can only be achieved when one transcends these three modes of nature. Krishna continues. Now, Arjuna interrupts Krishna with a very important inquiry. O my dear Lord, by what symptoms is one known who is transcendental to these three modes? What is one's behavior? And how does one transcend the modes of nature? This is a good question of Arjuna's. Krishna just said that if you transcend the modes, then you can regain your spiritual nature like his. So Arjuna wants to know, what are the symptoms? How do I achieve it? Let's listen. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, O son of Pandu, one who does not hate illumination, attachment, and delusion when they are present, nor longs for them when they disappear, who is unwavering and undisturbed through all these reactions of the material qualities, remaining neutral and transcendental, knowing that the modes alone are active, who is situated in the self and regards alike happiness and distress, who looks upon a piece of earth, stone, or gold with an equal eye, who is equal toward the desirable and the undesirable, who is steadily situated equally well in praise and blame, honor and dishonor, who treats alike both friend and enemy, and who has renounced all material activities, such a person is said to have transcended the modes of nature. We could summarize this by saying that a person who has transcended the modes of nature is completely neutral and indifferent to what is happening here in this material world. One has nothing, no interest in this material world. This is something Krishna has repeated several times throughout Bhagavad Gita. Krishna gave a similar answer when Arjuna asked a similar question in chapter 2. What are the symptoms of one whose consciousness is merged in transcendence? Now, in the final two verses of this chapter, these two verses are very, very important. Listen most carefully. One who engages in full devotional service, unfailing in all circumstances, at once transcends the modes of material nature and thus comes to the level of Brahman. This verse is so important. Because Krishna has now answered the question, how do I? In the previous verse, he explained the symptoms of someone who is transcendental. But more important is how to become transcendental. And what did Krishna say? Devotional service. And we have heard this repeatedly throughout Bhagavad Gita. Krishna has remained consistent. He has not wavered. He has been saying the same thing. Unalloyed devotional service. Uninterrupted. Constantly. Without any stoppage. And when one can do this, then at that point, one has transcended these three modes of nature. It is all a question of how much I can engage in this devotional service. Hearing, chanting, remembering, praying, worshiping, serving, befriending, and giving everything to Krishna. All these activities, when they are centered upon Krishna, and if it's done 24/7, then one has at once transcended. And he says, comes to the level of Brahman. The level of Brahman is my eternal position as the servant of God. And I regain my true nature, my true identity, blissful, full of knowledge, and eternality. Now, in the final verse, Krishna will explain Brahman. And I am the basis of this impersonal Brahman, which is immortal, imperishable, and eternal, and which is the constitutional position of ultimate happiness. So, ultimate happiness is spiritual, transcendental happiness. Now, why is this verse so important? One of the most important verses. Because Krishna is saying, I am the basis of the impersonal Brahman. There are different classes of transcendentalists. And sometimes there is big argument which or who is or what is the ultimate phase of the Absolute Truth. Here Krishna answers it definitively. He himself, his transcendental form, his person, is the basis of the impersonal manifestation. He also mentioned this in chapter 12, when Arjuna asked the question, which is better? Should I meditate on your personal form or worship you impersonally? And Krishna gave the definitive answer, to worship his personal form. Whereas those who worship the impersonal form simply were to get trouble. But still there are some people who think that the form of Krishna, the body of Krishna, is a manifestation of this impersonal Brahman. They have it backwards. And for such persons, Krishna has spoken this verse. No, the impersonal Brahman is resting upon the existence of Krishna's form. Krishna's body, Krishna's form, what is emanating from that is a light, a brilliant light. And that is what we call the impersonal Brahman. But as he says in this verse, I am the basis. In the actual Sanskrit, Brahmano hi pratishta aham, that this Brahma Jyoti, the light, the effulgence coming off of Krishna's body, is not independent of the body and form of Krishna. It is Krishna who is the origin of all, not the impersonal Brahman. This we should glean from this final verse of this chapter, that Krishna, his form, his body, is the last word in the Absolute Truth. And everything else, whether it be Paramatma, the Super Soul manifestation, or Brahman, his effulgence, is all subordinate to the form and body of Krishna himself. And therefore, if we want to appreciate this constitutional position of ultimate happiness, then we should immediately engage in devotional service. And the easiest way is to chant His holy name, as recommended by Lord Chaitanya. Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Hare Nama Iva Kivalam. Klo Naskiva, Naskiva, Naskiva Gatiranyata. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.